I brought up here, Christian Womanhood has sent materials for you to have the opportunity to buy. Christian Womanhood, of course, operates out of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and Mrs. Cindy Scott runs Christian Womanhood. And the goal and purpose of Christian Womanhood is to get into the hands of every Christian woman materials that will help you be whatever it is you need to be. Some of you are wives, some of you are mothers, some of you are, you're not a wife nor a mother, you're a grandmother now, who knows, whatever it is you are, and they want to get things into your hands that will help you be whatever that happened to be. Like, I'm a teacher, and I'm a wife. I don't have any children. That's, you think I have gray hair, you should have children. No, I have hundreds of kids I teach. That's why I have gray hair. But they have this magazine that they publish every month. It's called Christian Womanhood. Outstanding articles in it about all kinds of different things about a woman's life. And we do have these yellow papers on the back where you can subscribe to Christian Womanhood. Christian Womanhood is $21 a year, and you get a Christian Womanhood every month. It's a very beautiful magazine, lots of beautiful things. In fact, it's even changing even more in the next month. I read it last month. I didn't read all of what it was doing. I hadn't had time yet to sit down and read the whole thing. I like to read it all in one sitting and read from front to back. How many of you do get Christian Womanhood? Good, quite a few of you. If you don't get this is an excellent way for you to put good Christian literature into your home and to, I call it, take the ladies' meeting with you. And once a month, you have a ladies' meeting in the quiet confines of your own home. After you get everybody put to bed, you go sit in a chair in the peace and calmness, and you get something for your soul. If you have the opportunity to get this paper today, as you exit the building today, that it's on the table over here, anybody who I could get one of these in your hand, then that way you'd have it prepared, and you can just give it. Anybody need one of these? This is a subscription thing for it. If you do, they will have them on the back table back there, and you can subscribe to that. Then there are three or four books back there on marriage, but these two right here, I've heard so many comments about how to speak husband and how to speak wife. This is one of the little excerpts in husband and wife. This is what husband, it's called a vacation. This is how a wife looks at it. And this is how the husband looks at it. Wife, vacation, this is how we translate it. 7 days of well-planned activity that exclusively includes your husband and children, as well as a large quantity of quality time with the family. Now that sounds, doesn't that sound right to you? Vacation. This is what man thinks. Vacation, an annual event where I accomplish arriving so that I can accomplish returning to my normal life. So this one is how to speak husband. This is how to speak wife. Some of you may want to purchase this for your husband. Slide it on the table so he can understand what you're actually saying. And then you might want to get this one so you can interpret what he's saying. It's better than an interpreter. So these are on the back table back there, how to speak husband, how to speak wife. Then I also have Mrs. Cindy Scott's new book, 30 Years, Lessons Learned from 30 Years of Marriage. And if some of the things that Miss Karen has been talking to you about today, have you thought she stirred an interest in your mind of maybe researching those topics of marriage or motherhood, then you might be interested in these books. And we do have those on the back table, Christian Womanhood table. We're going to look today at something different. Last year, how many of you know Miss Loretta Walker? Okay, Miss Loretta Walker and I are good friends, and last year we came here together. A couple years ago, Loretta came home from, because they travel all the time, and they're only in our area every once in a while. So Loretta came home and said, "Oh, Belinda, I read this great book." And I go, "Oh, you read a great book." She said, "Yes, I read this great book. It was called The Color Code or something like that. I don't remember exactly the name." She said, "I read this book. It's all about different personalities. And instead they code you by color. Like some of you are blues and yellows and reds and whatever." So she said, "I read this book." So she's telling me all about it. And all of a sudden she says, "You're a red." I thought, "A red? I'm a red. Christmas red, warm, fuzzy, red." I said, "Really? I'm a red?" She said, "Oh, I just know you're a red." And I said, oh, you know, and she, I said, well, what's a red? She said, well, I can't tell you everything. I'll just give you the book. You can read it. So I got the book from her, and I opened it up. I read what a red is. Hungry for power. You want to look good to others. Yes, because see how cute I am? Should not be taken too seriously, for reds are just stating the fact as they see them, despite their antagonistic demeanor. Have most domineering, intimidating personalities. Now me, I'm shy and retiring. Why did she say I'm red? Insensitive. This is what she said about me. Selfish. Calculating and manipulative. Must be right. I don't must be right. I am right. I don't know why I got a must be right. I know I'm right. Competitive and bold. That's not me. Persnickety about things. Oh, my soul. If you went out to eat with me, like last night, I tried to behave myself the best with Miss Wendy. But I'm all about hot food. I don't like, and I'm unafraid to tell you that I'm about hot food. But praise the Lord, last night my biscuits came hot enough to melt the butter. If it had not, I would have said, Miss Wendy, do you think we can get some hot biscuits? Or I would have just looked at the thing and said, you know, I like mine to melt my butter. What good is it to bite into a biscuit and get a lump of butter in your mouth? It's supposed to saturate the inside of the biscuit. Then you spread the blackberry jam. Then you sit back and go, mmm. I know I'm clogging my arteries, but thank God. So I don't know. My husband says, he don't like, when we go out to eat, he goes, okay, now, whatever they give us, we're going to eat it just like it is. But one time I have to say my boldness did pay off because I said, nothing's worse than McDonald's French fries that are limpy. You know, they fall over like that. So he said, these French fries are kind of wimpy. I said, do you want me to go and tell them we want others? Because, you know, it don't bother me at all. I just waddle right up there and say, yo, bro, these French fries be weeny. I want some stiff ones. Give me one that stands straight. Anyway, so I go in there and I just say what I think because I'm unafraid. And I don't know why she thinks I'm red. Tenacious and taxing. If you were in my class, you'd say she is tenacious as a bulldog because I'm all about you doing your work and I don't leave. I'll talk to you the second day of school to the last day of the semester and I'll still say, you still owe me worksheet one. I don't know why they think I'm tenacious. You can never get away from me. Assertive and determined. Disagreeable. When I read that, I thought, we're done. Loretta Walker and I, we're done. I said, Loretta, I wrote down what it said about me. I said, I can't believe you said I'm red. I think we might be finished in our friendship. And then I read a different one, and I decided I don't want to be red, I want to be blue. Blue. Motivated by love to do nice things for people. That's me. I know that's me. Seeking intimacy and closeness with others. Committed and loyal. Sounds like your dog. Self-sacrifice and nurturing. Appropriate and sensitive. I want to be that. Why do I got to be red? Now, I'm going to tell you. The book said I'm hungry for power, but that's not true. I just want to help. A moment ago, they needed help. They needed me to help them down here, get one of those gifts and carry it back there to number somebody back there. I just wanted to help. I was not trying to take over. I just wanted to help. I want to look good to others. No, I'm just an overachiever. That's how I feel. I just really want to do it and do it well. How about this one? You should not take them too seriously for they're just stating the facts. No, I'm just a believer in telling the truth. I just tell you the truth about it. That's the bad thing. I told one girl, she said, I heard you saying something you said something about me. I said, honey, I love you and I want to tell you this secret. If Miss Belinda says something about you, it's to your face. I don't say it behind your back because I want you to hear what I want to say. She said, Oh, I guess you probably didn't say that then. I said, probably not. I said, if I said it, I'm going to bring you in, pull you in front of me and go, yo, come here, I want to tell you something you need to hear. I didn't tell you. I said, I don't talk behind your back. That's my problem. I'd do better if I talked behind your back, not to your face. People tell me that all the time. I heard you say, I said, no, girl, if I said it, I'd be right in your face saying it. Okay, insensitive, that's not me. I'm just not whiny, whiny, woo. I'm not insensitive. I just am not a whiny, whiny, woo person. Calculating and manipulative? No, I'm just trying to get the job done. And, of course, that thing about you always right. I am right. Okay. Competitive and bold? No. You can count on me. I'll help you get it done. That's what I think. But how it comes across to you is competitive and bold. But inside me, I know my motives. Tenacious and taxing? No, I never stop until the job gets done. Now that's how I am inside. I may be red. This is better. Assertive and determined? No, I'm unafraid or unashamed to be aggressive for Jesus. That's how I feel inside me. Now I know it comes across assertive and determined. And I don't know how many in this room are reds. Notice, we're unashamed to tell it to you. It don't bother us at all. We're reds. We're domineering. But we don't mean to be. We just want to help you with your life. Your life is going the wrong way. We just want to pull you back. Now, I don't know if you're like me. No, you're not, except for the few weirdos in the room. Okay, but you're just kidding. I don't mind being weird. It don't bother me at all. It's my fault. To me, I just think you're weird. Why are you baby crying all the time? Don't cry all the time. I'm not crying. Don't cry. I'm all about, I'm not just kidding. I do have some sensitive sides to me. I'm a little blue. Not much, but a little blue. Do you know what? The differences in us creates fear and apprehension. Because we're not all alike. If we were all reds, who would we boss around? We have to have some blues and some yellows and greens, because who is the reds going to boss around? Nobody. Do you know that different is good? Different is good. It's good that everyone sitting around you is not red. Or you would not all ever sit down unless, because we'd all be, but no, we don't sit there. Go over there. No, we're not going to sit over there. We're going to sit over here. No, we're going to sit over there. Over there. Okay. We can't all be reds. I know you want to be a red, but we can't all be reds. Some of you will just have to settle being blues and yellows and greens or whatever flavors. There's a white, I think, too. I don't remember. There's all kinds of colors. Now, different is good. It's not bad. We're not supposed to be alike because we don't all do the same job. If I were not red, I could not do what I do. If you were not whatever personality you are, you could not do what you need to do. That makes sense? God did not all of a sudden, your mother had you and God looked and said, oh my goodness, she's going to be a blue. She's going to be a red. No, God said on purpose, put into you the personality and the temperament that you needed to have in order to do the things that God has for you to do. The first thing I'd tell you about that is stop complaining about what you are. God made you what you are. You say, well, I'm so sensitive and I cry all the time. Do you know how many people in the world need to be more sensitive? A lot of us need to be more sensitive. Okay, I have a friend that is extremely sensitive. Do you know how many times I have learned how to say things that were not hurtful because she is sensitive? And we need her to be sensitive because, folks, if she were not sensitive, nothing at our college would get decorated because you have to be sensitive to decorate. Who's the decorator? Are you sensitive? No? Well, she's so sensitive because you get most people who have that ability to create something from nothing, they have also, with that beautiful part of their personality is also they're extremely sensitive. That's part of that personality. There is good and bad about every personality. Does that make sense? And your personality has many good things about it, and it also has the alternating bad things. But may I tell you this? You don't know my motives. And I don't know your motives. So the best thing we could do is stop judging each other. Well, I know what she meant by that. No, you don't. See, you think I'm bold and aggressive. I just think I'm trying to get the job done. You really don't know my motives. And I don't know your motives. I can think of times when I worked as a dean of women at Howells Anderson. I did that for 16 years. That's another reason why I have gray hair and I'm a kook. But in that, many times I'd go to my door. Every time I'd open my door, there'd be this one girl standing there. I mean, any time of the day, open the door, there she stands. Open the door, there she stands. Open the door, there she stands. I'm like, hello, can I help you? I just need to come by and see you. You know why she need to come by and see me? Because I give her direction, because I'm red. She needed my personality to give her assurance because she was new at school. Now, if I had been yellow, I would not be able to give her that what she needed. I work with a lady right now that Brother Scott sent to me that is having some serious issues in her life. She needs a red. She needs somebody like me who says, okay, stop crying, get up, go take a shower, turn on some good music, get yourself ready for work, and go to work. She doesn't need me to cry with her. She's been crying out for 3 days. She needs me to say, this is what you need to do. Now, if I were not red, I could not do that. The first thing we'll tell you about it is stop criticizing yourself. God made you the way you're supposed to be, friend. So all this negative junk going on up in your hair do up here, you need to get rid of that stuff. You're limiting yourself because you don't like the way God made you. But God made you the way you are because he needs you to do a specific job. Stop worrying about the way you are and start looking for what it is he wants you to do. Because whatever it is he wants you to do, no one else but you can do that. Not me, even though I'm red. I can't do it. Only you can do it. I cannot rear your children. I cannot be the wife to your husband. You have got to do that. You teenage girls, God has something for you to do. You need to stop saying, well, they don't like me because I'm not the way they are. Different is good. Say it.
Different is good.
We need different, folks. If we were all clones, what excitement would there be in the world? We all look alike, walk alike, talk alike. I don't look like her. I'm not as pretty as her. Don't be jealous, girls. You can't be as pretty as me. You might be as chubby as me if you worked at it. That's what I told someone. A couple girls came and said, oh, we just love your outfit. I said, well, as soon as you're woman enough to fill it up, I'll send it to you. Because they were way too skinny. I said, I'll mail it down to you, but you'll have to work on it, but you won't fit. You'll wrap around you 6 times. You've got to learn to become comfortable with who you are. That's the first thing. And then I need to be comfortable with the fact that I'm not like everybody else. And therefore, it's not my job to judge them and to say they're bad or good because they're different from me. Because different is?
Good.
Different is?
Good.
You know, the more good relationships you have, the better you are, happier you are. Depression comes because you don't have a lot of good relationships. And our relationships are not good because, folks, we spend most of our time comparing ourselves among ourselves. And I do believe, I may be wrong, but I believe there's a scripture verse about that. What does that scripture verse say? Who's going to stand and say it to me?
I think
what does it say?
It says they're comparing themselves among one another. And they're not being wise. I've mixed it
up. Yeah, that's a paraphrased version, but that's right, right? When we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not what? What?
Five.
So when you're looking at that girl and you say, well, I don't look like her. I'm not shaped the same way as she. I'm not exact. Now, I must say, I have helped God in this shaping situation in some instances. But, and you know, and I could work on it. I do ride my bike. I've been working on it, you know, someday. But I'm going to tell you, I was born with these hips. I mean, I got a sister that is like me. She is so skinny, except she has the reed hips. They go with my granny had them. All my Aunt Bobby Nail has them. You love those names, don't you? Aunt Bobby Nail. Aunt Carolyn. And my daddy's name was Benny. So those are real Southern names. We all had them. We all got them. There's only going to be so far I can go. Twiggy I will never be, unless you just do the top part of me. The bottom part is always going to be the reed hips. Now, is that my fault? No, that's my father's fault. He gave me these hips. So, look, I'm not going to ever be Twiggy. I never have ever been Twiggy. I could be more proportioned, possibly, than what I am. But, okay, I'll go there. It's none of your business. But I have to say, just because you're skinny and I'm a little chubbier, people sometimes need to have a chubby person around them. You know why? Because you're not as intimidated of me because I'm not skinny. Right? You know how many girls that I have been able to help just because I can make jokes about being chubby? Because there's... You're with me, girl, right? Okay. Because what can I do about it? I mean, I could stop eating the biscuits with the butter drizzled in it and all that junk. Okay, I know that. But I'm saying, why are you beating yourself up all the time? And then what happens is because you're so upset at yourself, it comes out in all your relationships because you don't think I'm of no value, therefore no one around me can have value. Okay, let's just the Bible says, I'm gonna show you where to go, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I'm going to teach you what you are to God, and then I want you to apply this word to everyone else. You have to look up, somebody's got their Bible over there. I think it's 139, maybe 14. It's got the word marvelous in the verse. Y'all going to tell me where it is. Look it up. First one knows it. What is it? 139 verse. All right, everybody, 14. Go to it. Read it out loud, and don't even try not to read it out loud. Read it out loud with me. Go.
I will praise you, Lord. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Next word.
Marvelous.
Hey, look at me. This chick right here,
she be marvelous.
I ain't got no red boots, but I be marvelous. You know what you spend your time going, oh, I'm just a piece of trash. Well, who isn't? We're all sinners. Is that like some big revelation to you? We're all sinners. Give yourself a break, Matilda and Agnes and whoever else you are, Carolyn or Bobby Nell. Give yourself a break. You're just constantly belittling yourself. And what happens then, anyone who's around you, they do not feel good about themselves. Look at me, because you are so down on yourself that you have to take down everyone around you so that they can meet up to your expectations, which is nothing. First off, look, you are marvelous. Say it. I am marvelous.
I am marvelous.
Oh, my goodness. Say it with a little more expression. I am marvelous. What are you?
Marvelous.
And you know what? Look at the girl next to her and say, you know what, girlfriend? You know what, girlfriend? You're marvelous. Say that. You know what, girlfriend? You're marvelous. What is that chick next to you?
Marvelous.
Then why do you keep criticizing her? You know you're criticizing one of God's creations. That is
marvelous.
I want to show you another verse. This is one of the most precious verses in the Bible. You say, well, I'm not marvelous. God couldn't love me. Oh, girlfriend, hold on to your petticoat. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I think. Look and tell me if that's the one, Miss 11, Miss Karen. It says, I know my thoughts of you. Oh, yeah. Go for it, girls. You find it? Jeremiah 29, 11. Find that verse. Okay. Look at me. Don't read it before I tell you to read it. Obey me. I'm ready. Okay, look at me. That verse right there is God talking to you. All right, now read it out loud to me because I just love to hear it read. Go. Jeremiah 29, 11. Go.
For I know the thoughts that I think for you.
Stop. God says he knows the thoughts he's thinking about you. Now, you think you know his thoughts about you. I know what he thinks about me. He doesn't think I'm of any value because I did that. I yelled at my kids yesterday. I know, God, I'm not of any value, and I know you can't do anything with me. I know. I just know that you don't love me no more, and I can't. What's he say? I know my thoughts toward you. And what are his thoughts toward you? Read them out loud. They are?
Thoughts of peace and
So what does God think about me? Even when I'm filthy, rotten, sinner. And when Miss Karen was giving her message, as Miss Wendy would say, her message about being a good wife, I thought, I'm a terrible wife. I don't do that. I do that. I don't do that. I'm not very good. I'm going to have a lot of regrets when Bob dies. Because, of course, he's going to die first because I'm red. And I've already decided. Okay. And I just went down and down. And I sat there and I thought, oh, God, how could you love me? And then I thought, Jeremiah 29:11. I know your thoughts of me. And what were those thoughts? Peace, not evil. I stood back up. I said, I can't be everything that everybody else is. I can only be what I am. But I'm going to try harder when I go home. And God loves me. And his thoughts of me are not evil. When you think the bad things come in your life, you think those things are thoughts of evil, that God's bringing evil upon you. That is not true. God never brings evil. God cannot do evil. So what you consider to be evil is what God considers to be good. We think of it as evil, but God says it's good. He wants to bring you to what he calls an expected end. Is that what I expect it to be? No, it's what he expects it to be. Do you know everything that happened? God has, he knows exactly where you're going to end up before you step into eternity. He is going to bring you to a certain spot, and when you're ready, you're going to heaven. Because heaven is not a bad place. Heaven is a step up, Matilda. It's not a step down. It's a step up, but you can't get up there until you get to that expected end. When you get there, you're going up. You say, so, you know, like if my child died, that means that he came to that spot? Yes. Heaven's a wonderful place. It's not a sad place. And our Brother House, I always call Brother Scott and Brother House the same person because they sound so much alike. Brother Scott said the other day that heaven is right there. So I walked out of church and I went like this. And I touched my grandma because she's in heaven. And I didn't touch Brother Howes, but I just said, put your hand next to mine, okay? But don't touch me, because it's against the rules. And then I reached over and I touched Marlene Evans and the great people in my life who have gone to heaven. And I thought it was a terrible thing they went to heaven, but they came to that expected end. And then they stepped across, they went through the veil, as Brother Scott said. They went through the veil to heaven, and they're just right there. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think? You're really the person you love that has gone to that side everywhere you go. They're right there. They're not like way up there far from you. They're right there. It's like another dimension you can't see. I thought, man, that's a wonderful thought. But once I've decided that God loves me and what he's bringing in my life and making me the way I am, red, making me that way, that was not because he was trying to hurt me. He was trying to use me to do what needed to be done. Look, inward look never produces fruit. Did you hear that? When I'm inside myself, criticizing myself, I'm not producing fruit out among people that I'm supposed to be producing fruit with. I got to get out of myself and get it out here. You do that by, number one, accepting who you are. And who? Now, did I say you're perfect? If I did, then I slipped. None of us are perfect. Have you ever lived one day without sin? Have you ever tried? I've tried, and I think, okay, I'm going to live one day without sin. At the end of the day, I go, oh, I lived the whole day without sin. And then I'm pride. And the fact I thought I did it. Because there's not, I'm steeped in sin. So I know I'm steeped in sin, so why be so hard on ourselves? We're steeped in sin. The devil's already beating up on you. Why you got to join him? It's like two against one. You're going to get whooped. So you got to get on God's side. God's thoughts of you are not of evil. They are of peace, and they are of an expected end. He loves you. So stop hating yourself. When you hate yourself, you hate God's creation. Then what that produces is my becoming critical and judgmental of all those around me. They've got to be just like me. If they're not just like me, then they're of no value. And that is not the way. I'm looking at my watch without glasses. Hold on. Oh, okay, good. They're not. That's not what. Just kidding. You go, no, she's going to go 45 minutes more. No, only 40. Okay, so give yourself a break. That's the first thing. Then stop asking everyone to be just like you. Today I'm declaring no negative day. That means from this point forward, you're not allowed to do the following things. Write them down. You're not allowed to think negative thoughts. You're not allowed to speak negative things like, oh, it sure is hot. I have to fan myself. I'm so hot. You're not allowed to, because I was sitting down here fanning myself because I was hot. Okay, but that's just because I'm old. Old women, you know, have those moments. So, first thing, no negative thoughts about yourself or anything around you. No negative words out of your mouth from this point forward today. Now, we're just going to go to 12 midnight, because if we go past 12 midnight, we'll have a stroke. One day when one of my classes, I declared it no negative day. And I had a married lady in that class, and she and her husband are now missionaries in Brazil. And I said, okay, from this point forward, I don't want you to think negative, and I don't want you to say negative all day till 12 o'clock tonight. I said, and then when you come back tomorrow, I want you to give me your reports of how your life was. So the next morning, I said, okay, who wants to report about no negative day? Oh, I mean, her hand shot right up. She goes, okay, Miss Melinda, I can't live every day like that. I go, what do you mean? She said, well, I had to stay up till 12 midnight. She said, every time that my child did something and I wanted to say something negative to them, I said, there's no negative day. And then she said, my husband came in and said, la, 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 and I wanted to tell him a few things. She said, and I started to say, and I said, nope, no negative day. And she zipped her lip. She said, you know what? She said, at 12, I had to stay up till 12 o'clock so I could let it all out. She said, I just went, and they were all sleeping. She said, I just went outside and talked to myself and got it all out. She said, then she said these words. She said, you know, I never realized how much negative I think and talk on a consistent basis to everyone. And mostly to myself, and she said, secondly, to my family. She said, because I think negative about me, I produce negative thinking and thoughts. And I said, that's pretty true, isn't it? She said, yes, it is. And I said, she said, I'm going to work on that. Now, will she get perfection? No. But she recognized that she spends way too much time doing the negative and talking and thinking the negative. And you're like me. Don't look at me like I am some weirdo. I am a weirdo, but more weirdo than you. Because we're all different. But different is
good.
We can't all be just alike. So stop comparing yourselves among yourselves because you're not wise when you do that. Number two, you don't know people's motives. Stop judging them. Number three, shut up the negative talk and the negative talk to yourself and the negative talk to everyone around you. You would be much happier if you just stopped saying all that negative stuff. You know the lady I told you I'm working with? She has a lot of negative thoughts. Okay, I said this to her the other night in the car on the way home because she rides home with me on Sunday night. I said, do you know the devil can't read your mind? She said, he can't? I go, no. He's not omnipresent. He can't read your mind. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. I said, do you know every time you speak negative things, you open up a door for him to attack you in? He doesn't know it if you keep your mouth shut. I said, keep it in here, because she said something very negative out loud, and I told her, I gave her this little thing she needed to know. But I said it very sweetly because I have tried to temper that red down. I tried. Anyway, so I said, you know, he can't read your mind. She said, he can? I go, no, you didn't know that? She said, no. I said, he's not omniscient. He only knows what you're thinking when you say it. Now, he can introduce a thought into your head, and you decide if you're going to let it build a nest there. But he can't know what you're thinking unless you express it. I said, a lot of the stuff that you feel so upset about, if you didn't express it, he'd never know. Fake him out. Play music and sing out loud. I play music in my car loud, and I turn it up, especially when I'm sad. The other morning, I was riding to school, and I was listening to the news about how the whole world's falling apart, no one has any money, and we're soon all to be broke. I got about halfway to school, and I thought, Lord, I can't go into the school like this, because I was very, what's the word? Afraid, scared. Anxious, that's the word, anxious. I was very anxious, and so I just popped that tape in that I had there, and I'd never heard the tape, and there's a song on it that's Hallelujah to the Lamb. Woo, girl! I turned that thing on, and then I turned it up. I crank it up real loud. That's why I'm deaf. I cranked it up real loud. And Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, man, I got halfway there, and I thought I was going to have to stop the car, get out of the car, and I'm not really a shouting girl. But I thought I just started bawling because I'm so worried about the whole world falling apart, and I got the God of the universe on my side. What am I doing? Man, all day long, I sang Hallelujah to the Lamb. Just those words, because he's going to take us through, girlfriend. Why we got to be so down? The whole world's falling apart. We're all going to be broke. Okay, well, if we are, we're going to all be broke. That's what my husband said. He said, don't look now, but we're going to all be broke. We'll all be in the soup line. I'm thinking, thank you for sharing that with me. But then I thought, yeah, we're all going to be there. If we're going to be there, we're going to be there. But I know this. I know that if we as Christians do our part, that God will bless this world, country. God doesn't bless a bunch of negative women who are griping, complaining, and cutting each other down. God blesses women who have faith, great faith, praying faith, and women who know everyone around them's different. And I appreciate everyone who's different than me. Not this word, it's this. Accept where people are and try to stop and stop trying to change them. Accept where they are. They may not be as far down the Christian road as you are. Why do you have to be so unkind to them? You know, you never have to treat people unkindly. You can treat people kindly. Brother Howe said these words. Anyone, every relationship would work if just one of the two parties would be a Christian. I have put that right there into my marriage. And every time I feel upset, I'll say, you know, Belinda, Brother Howe said, if you any marriage or anything could be good if just one of the two of you would be a Christian. And you know what? You need to be a Christian. Not he needs to be a Christian. I need to be a Christian. He may be upset about something and be talking to me about it. And I want to say, don't yell at me, I'm red. But I say, you're right, I'm wrong. My husband is so unfortunate, y'all, because I am a complete idiot about a lot of things. I mean, like the other morning, early, I go out, he was going to take me to the school, so he was going to pick Karen and I up and take us to the airport today. So he took me to school, and he was going to take my car and fill it up with gas and come back and get us at 11. Well, when I got outside to the car, he was already in the car, and the car was turned on. And I thought, oh, he took the key and turned the car on. How nice to get the air going and everything. No, the night before, I had gone out to the car to get everything cleaned up so Karen would have a place to put her suitcase. Well, I left the key in the car, and I left it on. Now you know what my husband lives with. I'm a complete idiot at times. I can hide my own Easter eggs. And then I don't even know where they were to start with. Bless his heart, he just said, I wondered why the car was on. I'm thinking, he wanted to say, you're an idiot. But he just said, I wondered why the car was on. And so then he found out that I not only drained the juice out of the battery, I destroyed the battery. So he had to go out and get a battery that morning, and he's retired, so it's okay. He was retired, he went out and got a battery. He put it in the car, he picked us up. He was very kind and gentle about it. He did tell Karen that I ruined a battery. I just want you to know. I'm sure she already figured out it was probably my fault, considering he's a retired fireman. He doesn't do those weird things. I do, because I'm a demon. I'm a red demon. So, but you know, I could have spent all day thinking, oh man, you're an idiot. But all I did was say, life happens. Right? Does not life happen? Right? I mean, what can I do all day long? Cry all day because I was so stupid? No, I had to pay for it. You know, I work. I had to pay for it because it's my car, my battery. Okay, well, life happens. Go on. Be happy. There's no sense in all that stuff. Okay, so now, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm going to sing you a song. This is called The Secret of Christmas. It goes like this. Joy, don't be jealous, honey. That's hilarious. Here we go. It's not the glow you feel when snow appears. It's not the Christmas card you've sent for years. Not the joyful sound when sleigh bells ring, or the merry songs children sing. The little gift you send on Christmas Day will not bring back the friend you've turned away. So may I suggest the secret of Christmas is not the things you do at Christmas time, but the Christmas things you do all year through. Aha. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Joy. Joy is my hero. Okay. Look, girls, it's not that little special feeling you get at Christmas time and you're kind to everybody. It is the Christ of Christmas that you live every day with, that lives within you to help you be kind to people, including yourself. Let's have a word of prayer.